All right, a pleasure to be with you on this July 4th as we get ready for baseball. Madison Bumgarner going for Arizona today against Carlos Rodon for the Giants. This is a good matchup. By the way, the Giants did make a move before the game today. David Villar has been called up from Sacramento. The professor, Ron Wotus, and I have talked about him a few times on the show. 21 homers, 62 RBIs. He's got a slugging .633, on base .409, and I realize it's in the Pacific Coast League in Sacramento, but 25 years old. He's from Atlanta, 11th round pick 2018, University of South Florida, and he is here, and he will play second base today. The Giants need something. All right, a pleasure to bring in Mike Ferrin. We love talking ball with Mike. He's a host of Power Alley on the MLB Network Radio, does some play-by-play with the Diamondbacks, and always a pleasure to see him at the park. Mike, how are you?
I'm good, Marty. It was great to see you last week, and it's good to be on with you. Hope you're having a happy 4th.
All right. It's July 4th, and, you know, I listen to you guys all the time in the morning, and you are the barbecue specialist. You're the king. What do you have cooking today?
So nothing on the plan for today, but I can tell you that we did Peruvian chicken the other night on the rotisserie, and I'm going to be doing some tacos al pastor later in the week, so. But today is going to be a little bit quieter, I think, on the grill. If it's going to be something grilled, it's going to be hot and fast.
All right. Very good. You're my idol. You know that, with the smoker and everything else. I love it. This is a good matchup today. For the Bay Area fans, anytime you can just connect with Madison Bumgarner, no matter how it is, it's always interesting. And the other side is Rodon. And, Mike, he has done everything that the Giants have asked of him. They'd love to see a full season from him. But this is an interesting matchup for everybody today.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think Rodon, I mean, with what he's done has been, I mean, as advertised, right? I mean, at least statistically, he's shown extremely well. The fact that he's able to hold his velocity the way he is, you know, he's really only had, one or two rough starts, I think is a huge positive. He's been, you know, the fact that he's healthy is a big part of this. You know, last year I think there was some misinterpretation, from what I understand, of the White Sox shutting him down. It was probably more due to innings limits as he was coming off, you know, having not pitched a full season in, 3 years, as it was for anything that was, you know, significantly wrong. And so I think the fact that he's healthy, that he's pitching at this level, I think is a huge boon for the Giants. And really they need it right now with the way the offense has been going. So, yeah, I think Rodon today is terrific. And obviously, you know, Bumgarner, I mean, the guy's going to compete. He had a lot of traffic on the bases in his last outing. But only gave up one in 5 innings. It's one of his better starts against San Diego since coming to the Diamondbacks. And so, it should be a fun matchup. But, man, I continue to be incredibly impressed by Carlos Rodon.
Yeah, he's been terrific. He is the ace along with Logan Webb. And that's why, look, the Giants are 8.5 back. They're a couple behind St. Louis now in the wild card. But with the format, and I want to get your thoughts about the new format. Look, you play 3 games. They could all be on the road if you're the 5th or 6th team. But you put the Giants in there with Logan Webb and Rodon, that's a dangerous team in the playoffs. And I still think they're going to do something before the trade deadline for a pitcher, too. But people have to watch out for the Giants, as they have in years past.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, listen, like, the key right now for them is how do you play the last half of the season, right? And do you put yourself in a position to be able to get into one of those wild card series? And, you know, there are some, I think, rotation questions. You know, Wood has not been great. I think, you know, I know that the numbers were terrible this year, but, man, the DeSclafani injury is a really rough one. I've always been a big fan of his. Losing him for the season is just a guy who has historically been a dependable innings eater. I think it's a big loss for them. So, you know, and really they're going to have to win with pitching. One of the more stunning things with this Giants team is that they have been so poor defensively. That's not something we're used to seeing with that group. And certainly was not the case last year where, you know, a lot of stuff went right for them. And as much as, you know, we focused on the offensive matchups and how important that was, it was a terrific defensive team. So there are some things that are going to need to be adjusted, and it's not going to be a slam dunk that they will be one of those 3 wild card teams Because St. Louis is pretty good, and keep an eye on Miami, who, if they can get any offense whatsoever, and they've outscored their opponents to this point this season. I think they're, what, 3 or 4 games under 500 now after sweeping Washington today. Like, keep an eye on them, because they're not going to go away with that pitching too.
No, I say it every year. Miami's 38-40 now, and they did sweep Washington that early game today with Pablo Lopez and Alcantara and Castano and Cabrera, who's been hurt. They're a dangerous team. There's no question about it. But it's interesting to this is the first of 19 with Arizona. Yeah. Come on, this is July 4th, and the Giants have not seen Arizona yet. Last year, 17-2 against Arizona. I said it on the show over the weekend that I think a lot of the Giants' success hinges on playing Arizona here in the second half.
Yeah, and it's not going to be the same, I don't think, as it was last year. I mean, listen, that Diamondbacks team lost 110 games in large part because they had an 8-58 stretch where they had lost 4 members of their rotation and then lost 5 members of their starting lineup, and they didn't have the depth to be able to compete beyond that. Their starters are decent. You know, I think the Giants get a little bit of an advantage in missing Zach Gallen. Bumgarner has been solid. Merrill Kelly has been solid. I'll be interested to see what they do with the spot when Zach Davies has vacated because he's on the injured list. Like, they have some better starting pitching than what they've had. The bullpen isn't great, but it's not bad either. I mean, they have done, yesterday notwithstanding, a reasonable job of holding down leads. And after, you know, what was a pretty rough stretch for a while, Mark Melancon seems to have settled in a bit in at least being able to get weak contact, if not missing many bats. They play much better defensively. Their offense comes and goes, as you would expect with a young team. So they've got 19 meetings with them, but this is not the same team that they went 17-2 against next year or last year. I don't see that being the case for them this season. Even if, like, a good season against them would be winning 11 or 12 games, I think. And even that, I think, is a little bit of a stretch. Well, Arizona's a better team than they were last year.
All right, we'll see. It looks to me like they don't score a lot of runs. Now, look, the Giants are not putting a lot of runs on the board either. They just went through, believe it or not, a series with the White Sox. They got swept. White Sox didn't hit a home run all weekend. The Giants hit one. How about that?
Yeah, that's not they didn't get the memo on how baseball is supposed to be played in 2022, huh?
Yeah, come on. How about down here, though? Arizona, let's talk their offense just a little bit. And you're right, Merrill Kelly gave the Giants trouble last year. You get bummed today. Who knows what they'll do tomorrow. Then we get Arizona next week and probably get Zach Gallen in that series as well. But what about the Diamondbacks really scoring runs, and who do they rely on to get anything done?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's two things that they seem to do fairly well. They draw walks, and they do hit some homers.
Okay.
And so I think that's the thing that you know, kind of stands out about their offense. They're down in the bottom third of the league overall. They had a miserable April, good May, rough June. And again, they're young. So I think some of that is where the inconsistencies come from. Christian Walker is their best power bat. The way he's hit the ball this season probably should suggest that he has a higher average than what it is right now, which I think is right around 210. But he provides a ton of power in the middle of the lineup. Their best all-around player is Dalton Varsho, who, you know, he went through a rough stretch after he got hit in the back with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. It took him about 100 plate appearances to get going again, but he's starting to lock it back in. He's a dynamic presence because he can run and hit. You know, he's done a fair amount of catching, but you'll see him mostly in right field. Alec Thomas has done a very nice job as a rookie, both defensively and offensively in center field. So those are kind of the guys that I would say that they're the main focuses. And then David Peralta, too, who you know, had a big series in Colorado and has been heating up here lately. You'll notice some differences in Peralta from the way he looked the last several years. He worked with Michael Brantley this winter and kind of adjusted some of his swing setup. But you're right in saying that it's an offense that's not quite there yet. They are better than they were a year ago. But there are areas in that lineup that you can pitch to, and you know their biggest saving grace is that if they can stack events in the right order, you know, with a couple of walks and then a home run, they can give you some trouble. But that's really what their offense has been.
Oh, boy, interesting. Great report. Mike Farron with us. Of course, you can hear him on Power Alley doing some play-by-play for the Diamondbacks down here while Greg Schulte is out. You've done some college baseball this year. You're doing more college World Series kind of stuff, Omaha. Give me your experience this year. What was that like?
Well, it was great. You know, I'm a huge college baseball fan, and I had, you know, years and years ago started doing a college baseball show for Sirius. And when I left them full time to go to the Diamondbacks 7 years ago, I had to put that on hold for a while. So now being a full time freelancer, it allowed me the opportunity to get back into college baseball and covering it. The Omaha experience is terrific. If you've never been there or been a part of it, it is so much fun. That city rolls out the red carpet for that event. And the first 4 days in particular, when all the teams are still playing, is a ton of fun. The whole downtown area is basically like a baseball convention or festival. And there's concerts and bands late into the night on the weekend. It's just a whole heck of a lot of fun. And the kids who get to participate in you know, the College World Series, it's something that they don't forget. They're treated like big leaguers. They have, you know, great access to you know, be able to work in the community on the off days. Like, it's just a really tremendous event. And so, you know, getting to spend some time with the Stanford kids, too, was a lot of fun. I'm a big Dave Esker fan. I think Esker's one of the best coaches in the country. And they have just a really impressive group of young men that were there. I know it didn't go quite the way Stanford had hoped in a return trip to Omaha, but they're really great fun to be a part of that. It was a great event. We didn't see quite the changes, lead changes that were driven by the home run like we saw in the regional and super regional rounds in Omaha. It's a tough place to hit. It's kind of like the Coliseum, only with the wind blowing in at 25 miles an hour all the time. So, like, giant foul territory and, like, wind blowing in. But it really was a lot of fun to be back. I'd missed college baseball a lot. And the people who cover college baseball are so much fun, too, because they have just such a great appreciation for the game. And they realize that there are flaws in it, but that's not their main focus. Their main focus is on covering you know, what's really great about baseball, which is something I think we could do a better job of on the pro side sometimes.
Well, great. Great experience for you. It was a pleasure to listen to you. I know your enthusiasm is there, and it comes across easily here. Well, the amateur draft is coming up, and the Diamondbacks mm-hmm. have a top pick, and Andrew Jones's kid, Keith Law, was on with us Saturday, talked about him, and Matt Holliday's kid is in there. Then there are some sleepers, but what do you think? Where do the Diamondbacks go with this thing?
Yeah, I mean, I would have to think that if Drew Jones is there at two, that he would be the guy. I mean, he's the top player in the draft. You know, the question is, will the Orioles do what they did when they took Adley Rutschman, which was take the consensus best overall player? In that case, it was pretty close to unanimous. And think about that. That was in a draft that had Bobby Witt Jr. in it, too, right? And people were thinking that Adley Rutschman was the best player. And he's pretty good. So, you know, the Orioles have done that route the last couple of years. What they've done is they've cut a deal at one in an effort, or with their first pick, in an effort to spread that money out to be able to add more talent to the organization. So nobody's quite sure what Baltimore is going to do. If they do take Drew Jones, I think Jackson Holliday is a name to keep an eye on for sure. That's Matt Holliday's son. He had a terrific spring. I think he was the National Player of the Year for Perfect Game. He hit almost 700. Not that the high school stats really, you know, translate at all, but left-handed hitter who can play shortstop and is really impressive. I think he would be the guy that's on the list. And if you were looking for a sleeper there, I would keep an eye on Zach Neto, who's the shortstop at Campbell. I think there are a lot of things that he does that are going to have him end up going higher in the draft than what a lot of the projections have there. He's a pretty good bet to play shortstop. He's got tremendous arm strength and power. Scouts don't love his high leg kick. It's very Hideki Matsui or Justin Turner, but his back-to-ball skills are pretty incredible, and he can handle velocity. That's a guy that I don't think has gotten the attention nationally that he probably deserves based on what position he's going to play as a pro. Maybe he's not quite to the same potential impact as like a Brooks Lee at Cal Poly or Kevin Parada at Georgia Tech, you know, who are a couple of the other top college bats, but Neto is probably the best bet to play shortstop. And you know, things didn't work out at the plate for him, he was their closer, too, for a while this year. So he's a really interesting guy that I think is going to slot somewhere probably after the Diamondbacks, somewhere in that 5 to 15 range. But he's a really, really intriguing player.
Great, great scouting report. I love it because it gives us something to follow July 17th when the draft takes place during the All-Star weekend. All right, it's September 1st. Give me your six playoff teams in the National League. It's September 1st.
On September 1st, I'll say Brewers, Dodgers, Braves, Mets feel pretty safe. I really like San Diego's pitching. I think they're in a good spot. So then it comes down to San Francisco, St. Louis, and Miami, probably in Philadelphia.
Yep. Got to put you on the spot here.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah, I know. I think I probably go with the Cardinals just because of the star power they have at the corners. But I think it's a real race between, you know, those teams. And I think, you know, listen, if the Padres don't get things figured out offensively, there's a chance that they come back to the pack. Now, they're going to get Tatis back, but it may not be for another month. They need some offensive help, too. In fact, I think you could make the argument they need offensive help worse than the Giants do.
Yep.
So they could come back a little bit, but, man, they're starting pitching deep and good.
Boy, I love it. One last question for you. It is July 4th, and it is a special day in the country, and it's a special day for baseball, too. It's a day, it used to be doubleheaders, it's barbecues, it's family getting together. What does July 4th mean to you with baseball? How does that impact your life?
Well, it's a rarity today that I was off on the 4th of July. It's been a long time since that's happened, so for that today, I was appreciative. You know, I actually don't know that I have a great 4th of July tie to baseball so much as it's my dad's birthday, and so that's always been kind of what our focus is. So I would say that I've been thinking more about that, and you know, unfortunately we had a mass shooting in suburban Chicago in the next town over from where I grew up this morning, and so my thoughts have been there more than they have been with baseball today, because I've spent a lot of time in Highland Park when I was young, and I know what kind of community that is and how special it is. And it's just absolutely heartbreaking to see that. So, unfortunately, I don't have a good tie this 4th of July to baseball right now, Marty. I've been, unfortunately, thinking about real life stuff.
Well, and that's part of what July 4th is all about this year. And I said it in my open today. It is a time, really, to reflect and realize what's going on. And it's more than baseball. July 4th is a time, really, to take a look at where we are as a country, where we're going, and how polarized we are. And so that was my point today. So I appreciate what you're saying. Look, it's great to have you on. I love seeing you at the ballpark. You do a great job on the MLB radio and, of course, filling in for Greg. So have a good day, and I'll see you at the park.
All right, Marty. Happy to be with you. Enjoy today.
All right. Always a pleasure to have Mike Farron with us. Mike_Farron on Twitter. All right. Bill is up next. He's going to talk with Mark Davis. And this is July 4th, 1987. How about this? Remember the trade? Dave Dravecki, Lefferts, Kevin Mitchell come to the Giants for Chris Brown, Comstock, Mark Davis, and the great Mark Grant. Bill is going to talk to Mark Davis on this July 4th, right after this on the Sports Leader.